In the morning. Apologies for the agenda snafu again. We sent everything off and we'll figure out how to get it beyond just our commissioners and all of you. We'll make sure to send that out next time. We will figure it out internally. So you all have an agenda, and I'll pull this up as well, just to have it up on the screen. I believe there's Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us and staying on for a long day. I know we're a little bit behind schedule. It's perfectly fine. I'm happy to abbreviate. I'm obviously not well, so I'll stay over here. And just we'll get you out of here by noon, I promise. I just wanted to give an update on a lot of the exciting things that are happening. And again, encourage all of you to encourage your constituents and your technical committee members to participate in the things that we'll talk about today. We'll obviously skip the review of agenda. It's very simple anyway, but of course, if there's anything else that comes up, please feel free to jump in and add everything to it. So thank you again for joining us. It's been 3 months since we met, which we're staying on the quarterly schedule. If we choose to revise that schedule, we certainly can, but that's what we're staying with for now. So we'll meet again in September. Nope, October, actually. So last in May, we hosted the Ecosystem Coordination Board. Thank you to Commissioners Bacon and St. Clair. Commissioner Bacon attended in person. Thank you very much. Commissioner St. Clair attended via Zoom. And we were hosting again the Ecosystem Coordination Board, which Commissioner St. Clair, if you're willing in a few minutes to give a little bit of an overview of what that board is, their role in ecosystem recovery, and specifically your new role in that, that would be fantastic. It was extremely well attended, and we received a lot of praise from the Puget Sound Partnership, from others who attended, other committee bodies across the Sound, for being a really exciting conversation, albeit it's a staggering kind of problem, the scope that we're dealing with the shoreline management. But we received a lot of praise, both for our staff, for our materials, for our guest speakers, and for, again, the attendance. So just wanted to pass that along. And Commissioner St. Clair, if you would, please give a little bit of an overview of the ECB for the group, and again, why we want to work closely with them, why this, hosting matters, and your role moving forward.
So the Puget Sound Partnership has a series of sort of at the top with the Leadership Council, and then they have the Ecosystem Recovery Board, which makes recommendations. Below that, the Salmon Recovery Council, which makes recommendations, and they roll up into the action agenda and platform for the state from all of these. Jen and I have been attending, representing this LIO for a long time. I've also attended the local, what do we call it? The local boards that talks about land use and making sure you've got that voice of county
Land
commissioners.
use, we have a land use subcommittee.
That's it. And so I was appointed to represent all counties, which helps bring sort of the all the counties that are impacted by what happens at Puget Sound Partnership, their legislative agenda, their action agenda, the funding of money, which helps us as counties have a voice. So we continue to represent the LIO. Jen will continue in that role. But for example, in the last meeting, Commissioner Wiesen and I were talking about making sure that as they look towards, if you remember from the last meeting here, where they talked about the unpermitted bulkheads and the challenges we have with illegal armoring happening and all of that. And then when they start making recommendations, it's grounded in what's possible in many ways for us as jurisdictions, right? If they're asking, for example, to do enforcement on all 98% of that unpermitted, that's not possible. So what we try to do is use having the county voice in there, and then I often will check in with other county leaders to say, let's make sure our goals align with the capacity of counties to take action and align with our goals and the other plans we have. So you articulated that very well in the room when you were there. You said, you know, your role on the MRC, and then those get rolled up, and Puget Sound Partnership has a big voice in state government policy. And so making sure it's grounded in what is possible for counties to do, what how it impacts our residents and the tough challenges we face at this level. Is that fair enough?
That's great. And you know, I wanted to give a little bit of an overview again about the ECB so everybody understands the importance of kind of why we wanted to really show up for that meeting, and the hosting of that meeting in our jurisdiction is important. We won't have another chance to do that for a couple of years because it rotates around all of the LIOs. And Commissioner St. Clair's new position is a voting member, which is a big advancement for us. We were non-voting in our past as the Whidbey Basin representative. And so the ECB does have a lot of sway, again, at the state legislative level, as St. Clair said. And we want to keep that momentum going for what Island County needs in these conversations. So I just wanted to give another recap of that meeting and just to reiterate that we continue to work closely with Alan, who is now the chair of the ECB, and the rest of the Puget Sound Partnership. And that blends itself next to the next agenda item, which is a discussion really about what we've been working on since then and we'll continue to work on for the next several months at the LIO level, and how all of you definitely, what your input would be invaluable, as would, you know, your staff at each of your jurisdictions. We've been working on LIO target action plans. And as you'll recall from last year, we were tasked with creating a target action plan through a pilot for the OSS on-site septic. And we've successfully completed that, as each of the 10 LIOs completed their plan with input from many of your representatives from, you know, Coopville, Langley, Oak Harbor, and of course within staff and the public. Many of our committee members participated, our local health jurisdiction, of course. And I want to just reiterate that the importance of these plans, because I know there has been a lot of frustration. I'm now a little over 2 years into this position, and I feel like finally this is now starting to align into action. I know there has been frustration long before I came with the removal of direct funding to LIOs, and this is a step towards that. And I'm really excited to finally start seeing it happen. And the reason I bring that up is because the target action plan for the OSS did receive a direct funding of $183,000. That was to all the LIOs, and we're currently utilizing that funding. And this next one that we're working on, which is Healthy Shorelines, which aligns with the topic that we brought to the ECB, all LIOs are completing that right now. The technical committee is working hard on those. Again, representatives from all of your jurisdictions can, should, and would be welcome to participate in that, because we've already seen that the action plans result in direct funding. And further, the RFPs, so requests for proposals that are being put out from the state agencies, are now asking that any action that gets funded has to be in a target action plan that was produced by an LIO. That shift is pretty monumental, and is now getting back again towards that locally led, prioritized, targeted action. So basically what I'm saying is this action plan that is literally, I will actually pull it up, effectively a laundry list of all the types of, it's just an Excel sheet, that's actually our plan, of all the types of things we want to do, all the projects we have in mind, all the things that our jurisdictions have come to us and said are important to them. It's quite tiny, isn't it? And again, this has been shared with the technical committee members from each of your jurisdictions. They are welcome to add. We have about another month and a half of adding to this before it's finalized. Anything from this laundry list will then be fundable with future RFPs. If it's not in this list, it will be much less competitive.
This is like our last meeting where it has to be on the RTIP. Now it has to be on this plan.
But yeah, they have given us free rein to work amongst the LIOs with our jurisdictions. You'll see there's even...
could you send this spreadsheet, even though it's still draft, sure, and not finalized? Because we will need to finalize this in the LIO before the end of the year.
Yes.
That's then what becomes our template for funding asks, yes, to the state.
You'll see I even mentioned work with Oak Harbor to determine possible projects. I mean, directly asking the jurisdictions to propose.
This is like your salmon project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe go.
Mm-hmm. It's just an exciting shift from what I know was a really frustrating several years long before I came. And during the first, you know, well over the first year, I thought, what in the world are we even doing here? Because it was really hard to grapple with how to be actionable, and to have it finally shift into feeling like now the work I'm doing and the work we're doing as LIO coordinators is providing guidance to actionable funding is really exciting. So this is the second of the action plans. Again, Healthy Shorelines was voted the highest among all 10 of us. And obviously it's really a big deal for Island County, as you can see by our ECB session. And I want to go back over here to this action plan brochure, which you all have in front of you. It's really an overview of why we're doing these action plans, how they'll be funded, as I just mentioned, and how they coordinate with the overall Puget Sound Recovery Action Agenda, which is a massive document created by the state agencies every few years. The new one will be published later this year. And it will align with that. It will align with our local indicators, and it will align with our local priorities. So down here at the bottom on the second page, you'll see on the right-hand side there that just an overview that last year we worked on the OSS action plan, of which we then, of course, received the funding, and that future action plans will align with funding priorities, including Healthy Shorelines, and next will be floodplains and estuaries. Next summer is the goal for that one. So we're trying to do at least one a year, which again will be on the books for any future RFPs that the state puts out. Our state partners in the strategic initiative leads, which you've probably heard and have come spoken at the ECB and the Leadership Council, will align with those priorities. So it's really exciting. And again, we're in the midst of this Healthy Shorelines Action Plan. The more ideas that get dumped into that Excel sheet, the better we are for future funding.
So
what's the dollar limit?
We don't know right now. The RFP that just came out, I forgot to say that actually. So we got the 183, each of us, for the LIO OSS last year. And then just a couple of weeks ago, the Shellfish SIL, Strategic Initiative Lead, released the first of those RFPs I'm talking about that say, hey, you have to, this has to be in an LIO action plan. And that was just a typical grant that has a range of about $100,000 to $200,000 of funding. And it's competitive, but only within the confines of aligning with an LIO, if that makes sense. So it's much less competitive for within the LIO network. And it's specifically meant for them. So it turns out to be a regular grant, and you can ask for a range based on what your project needs. It's less a set amount than the other ones. So, and we should see that reflected as we move forward with more grant opportunities. So it's a really, again, validating that we're finally kind of moving in the right direction back to locally led projects.
Right. It flipped. We were so angry when we got that huge tranche of funding from the feds to Puget Sound Partnership. We thought it was going to go to all the locals. Remember, we sent in a letter of complaint that they instead scooped it up and used the money in the Puget Sound Partnership bureaucracy. It has been an ongoing bone of contention. And so essentially with new leadership and restructuring, it's this effort is to return back to sort of locally led priorities on these projects.
And the work within them is actually really rewarding as well, because we're working with entities from all of your jurisdictions on the technical committee who are providing these ideas, right, that are important to them. I can't come up with what's important to Oak Harbor or Hoopville or Langley or the public or the various committees or the Audubon Society, all of whom are on the technical committee. So that's great that they're able to provide their ideas. So I would encourage all of you to, of course, encourage your staff to participate. They've all received the updated draft. We will continue to update those and send those out as they're, you know, growing. And we'll finalize those hopefully in September.
When you said that the funding was up to 200,000, and I'm going to use a project in Oak Harbor that, I mean, you're not Oak Harbor. You're Coopville. Coopville. So, you know, we've talked about the outfalls in Coopville, and it directly relates to the shellfish sill, right?
Like this right now.
And so, Jen, as I think about that, it's not going to be the money that comes out of that OSS thing is not enough for a project, but it could be enough for project design and engineering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so that's, you know, and I only remember that project, it all was all the way back to my Soundwater Stewards days when we talked about that. And so it's an example of how the OSS project lead pilot that we did sets it up that if that's a project that matters, you would be able to apply for study design, that kind of stuff, which then sets you up if they release capital funding, which the Puget Sound Partnership does, it doesn't go through this, it's big RFPs, you would already sort of be in line for the larger capital funding because you've been following in this process. So, I'm not meaning to disregard any other projects. It's just the one that comes top of mind for me because we're talking about the OSS and the shellfish sill.
Yeah. And working with the sills really closely is going to set us up for those kinds of conversations when the RFPs are ready to come out. So we anticipate, as you know, Peter Murchie came to speak with us in January and has since left his position. But he was talking about the restructuring of the EPA funding model and how there might be a whole new sill. That still is the rumor, you know, that's the plan, that there will be a near shore sill in addition to an upland habitat sill. So there'll be a couple different groups who have the ability to release RFPs for projects. And again, those are all going to be needing to align with our LAO plans.
Where do you send your ideas to? I mean, I'm not obviously going to do an RFP. They're not going to let me near a form, but where do you send your ideas? Like, who do you say, hey, what about this? What about that? Where does the what about happen at?
Yeah. So this process will just compile all our ideas and then it's in sort of the Puget Sound Partnership aligns it into an online.
No, I get that part, but where do you give the idea? Like,
oh, when an RFP is released?
Well, no, are you talking about how to get your idea on this?
Yeah, like, where do you say, what about this idea or that idea? Where does that happen at?
You can email me directly as the LIO coordinator.
Okay.
And during the technical committee meetings, we can brainstorm and I, you know, capture anything that comes up.
And between now and the end of the year, this group will take all of that spreadsheet and either approve it as a total plan or parse it out. That spreadsheet will come back to us for approval.
It'll be
so all ideas go to Jen.
That's what I wanted to know.
And then we will come back and approve it before the end of the year.
And hopefully it will be robust. There'll be lots of ideas.
Well, okay, so I'm not trying to cause a problem.
Sure.
I think you're wearing off my
mouth. Well, you wanted
to be next to you. You wanted the seating arrangement. Can we get it before the December meeting that we have to approve it in?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, that's why I want her to send out the draft to you now so you see what ideas are there. And then if you want to add to it, and then we'll send it out in advance of the December.
It needs all the adding. Other meeting. I mean, pie in the sky ideas, concrete projects, all of it. It's better in there than not.
Jen, at this point, because we don't have it, I can't count it. How many projects are on that list?
And some of them I would say are not really projects. They're more like, here's an example. First of all, I want to say that there's five different strategies that are coming from the action agenda. And then we have a varying amount in each one. We have maybe a dozen in each. So 50 or so.
Oh, do any of these come out of the MRC too?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought so. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's meant to be a very loose rather than structured couple of months where if anybody has an idea, they can email me at any time and I'll add it.
Can we get the draft list?
Of course. Yep. Yeah. It's a working document.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I just sent the revised one again yesterday to all of your technical committee representatives.
Oh, okay.
So just remember that because things go to the TAC doesn't mean that they filter up to us.
Or vice versa.
So just go ahead and send
the
draft out to the LIO.
Will do. Yep.
Executive committee.
Happy to add. Yeah, and that's one of the things like I had previously been sending everything to all of you and then we wanted to go through the clerk. So we might need to just figure out.
We'll have to clarify that because she told her not to send it to us.
Yes, we'll figure it out. But I'm happy to send this out and with all the materials that I have today. So just to recap, this is an extremely short PowerPoint. just to recap kind of the importance of the LIO action plans, again, local action. It has them a name. It's not just projects. That's one of the things I was just mentioning. It might even be, this is a barrier we're experiencing. We don't have a solution, but we just wanted to get it on the books, if you will, that we're struggling with this particular thing, whether it be funding, whether it be, whether it be funding, whether it be bandwidth or capacity, obstacles are important to add in there too. And there's a drop-down menu for that. I went over a lot of this, just that we're currently working with the OSS action plan, and then next year we'll be working on estuaries. This year we're working on healthy shorelines.
So are the ideas we're sending for next year's estuaries?
No, or just for healthy shorelines right now.
Just for healthy shorelines.
Okay. Just wanted to give an idea that we're planning a year ahead to make sure that we have a topic.
Got it.
And the LIOs are welcome to take on optional target action plans, but they're a lot of work. So we're trying to stick with one. We want to make sure people can focus. And again, I'll send all of this out. It doesn't sound like you got it, but it's just a very, very brief overhead view of the action agenda's overall scope for Puget Sound recovery and how the action plans implement local priorities. So you'll see we're trying to get those kind of wrapped up by September. We're working with all of you. And you'll see finalized is not like final on the books, but no more entries basically to the plan. And again, like I mentioned, they'll synthesize that content into an online tool that anyone can access. It's actually a really cool tool that they're working on. And then, yeah, we will talk in the ECB meeting. We talked about the Ecosystem Coordination Board. They meet in September.
Yeah. So our next meeting is September 10th. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things they're really trying to figure out is this short armoring conversation. Mm-hmm. And I basically said, a lot of the rules that are being broken are state rules, and we don't have capacity for enforcement. We and Commissioner Wiesen,
Ron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ron also agreed. And it's sort of what county leaders are saying is we don't have capacity to do enforcement on all of those. So state, you take that on if you want to. Let's figure out our education and outreach and technical assistance and the things going forward. No decisions have been made, mm-hmm. but and I probably hadn't updated you on that, but that's sort of the outreach that's gone to other counties so that when we make recommendations, okay. If you have thoughts about healthy shorelines, if I can get your thoughts through Jennifer, you can just send everything to Jennifer, mm-hmm. and she'll get them to me before the September 10th meeting.
That's helpful. Coming up.
Who have you talked to about enforcement?
The ECB and Puget Sound Partnership did a presentation, the one that Melanie was at, talking about all the illegal armoring that's happening.
Right, right.
And so what's the solution, right? So the question is, how do we solve that problem?
Yeah.
And one of the questions came is, what about enforcement? Should we be doing increased enforcement? And the pushback from local governments has been, we don't have capacity to enforce on that. And most of the rules they're breaking are state rules, state and federal. So we are asking, instead of making local jurisdictions responsible for enforcement on those things, please help us be in charge of a going forward plan and not a look back and enforce on those illegal.
Yeah, but you said that to the state? Is that who you
that
said
is
to?
What's happening? That's the conversation that's happening at the ECB.
There's a pretty What's large conversation.
The Ecosystem Coordination Board.
Okay. Is that that's a state board?
That's the board that then reports up to the Puget Sound Partnership. That was what I was trying to explain at the beginning. Puget Sound Partnership, Leadership Council, Ecosystem Recovery Board, if it's a triangle, Salmon Recovery mm-hmm. Council, those are sort of the advisory up. So but we've been on that board, but not with a vote prior to today. Now we have a vote from our region.
And then the funding, like the $100,000 to $200,000, that's per project or per region or per jurisdiction?
Per application. So it could be more than one application per jurisdiction.
Okay. So for Island County, then it's possible for all the municipalities to get funding, sure. for the county to get funding. You don't have to put everything into one singular project and hope that that project gets it.
No,
we could
certainly
get
not.
Multiple projects.
It just makes it less more competitive to have more people vying for the same bucket, right? Of course.
So if five of us apply for the 200,000 and four get awarded, it's 50,000.
Well, that's what I was just at. That's what I just.
That's what you just said.
No, there's a larger bucket. There's a bucket of, they usually don't disclose how much they have. Sometimes they do, of $1 million. I'm just going to make that up. But each award, I'll use that rather than project. Each award can be within the range that is allowed for each reward.
Okay.
Each award.
Oh, okay.
And an award could be one project. It could be a collaborative effort. It could be whatever.
But you're not limited to one project per region.
No, not at all.
Is there a bucket for Island County or is the bucket for the state?
For the state. Yeah. Well, for Puget Sound, which is
a large
area.
Okay. All those RIAs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love all this acronym. It's like acronym hell.
And that, of course, that's just their first one where they're trying to sort out how to best align with the target action plans. Mm-hmm. All of our feedback to them is really valuable about, you know, we couldn't get a collaborative effort around, or we didn't have a project that quite aligned. But so far, it's been going quite smoothly, and we're just really happy to have them listening to us and saying we need money at the local level.
So the OSS pilot is the one that we're in now.
Yes.
And the feedback they're seeking that is going to go into the September meeting is for the Healthy Store Lines initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So we're completing the OSS. Now funding is available for projects. Now we're moving into Healthy Shorelines. What are your recommendations, needs, thoughts, et cetera?
And then that will release funding in
the future, but we don't know how much. It depends on, you know, they cut the National Estuary Program, which was where a lot of the funding for this came.
And do we have data that could be provided to all the municipal partners about their areas of greatest shoreline unhealth and the cause of that? Do we know?
So the shoreline armoring report that we just produced last fall does have each segment, regardless of whether it's county or city or public or private.
But only related to armoring. I'm asking about overall shoreline health. So if the contaminant is, let's say, creosote pilings at a marina, mm-hmm. and that's what's causing the biggest damage to the ecosystem, do we have data that shows where our most unhealthy shoreline is at and what the cause of that is?
That's a question, I guess, for the municipalities. Is that something that the town and city has data on?
They wouldn't know for the entire ecosystem. Like, they might know their stuff, but they wouldn't know. Like, when we talk about shoreline health in Island County, do we have an area of the county that is the least healthy? And do we know what the cause of that is? Not like armoring in general, we don't like, but like, look, Penn Cove, look, what's the Freeland Bay called? Mutiny Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, Jill. Like, let's say Mutiny Bay, right? Do we know what causes that? Is there a project there that we want to focus on? Like, because that would help everybody be more strategic. Otherwise, what we're going to do is say, well, here's some money we need. I'm going to try to align what I need with the project. Mm-hmm. But if we're trying to rank, it's hard to rank if I don't know where the greatest unhealth is coming from.
Like the PIC data.
Yeah. And we do know that those three areas are highly impacted by fecal discharge from septic systems, which is why the on-site septic target action plan was the first that we did. We knew we had areas that were really being impacted. And now as we move to healthy shorelines, we know that's because we've got a lot of shoreline armoring that's impacting. And to be honest, more than just the armoring, just the fact that we have all these residences right on the shoreline, how can we help these people? What can we do? What are our mechanisms? So in terms of specific data, that's a complicated answer, is that there's several different layers. We've got, again, the PIC data, as Commissioner St. Clair mentioned. We've got all of our surface water quality data, which much of it is shoreline, just because that's how our island communities work. We've got our beaches and shellfish data. We've mm-hmm. got our drinking water data. We've got
that would be really interesting to layer it all together.
Right.
On the map.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's a big project.
I love that idea.
And maybe that's what we ask for money for.
You know, because we know we should be discharging as clean of stormwater as we can into the water, or we should be getting septic systems off the shoreline. But I don't have that expertise on. I mean, you just know that at a common sense.
And that's a perfect thing to put into this target action plan is. The town of Coopville has which is not just the only, of course, but the town of Coopville has numerous OSS systems right on the shoreline, and they would like to explore options for moving those back or
creating coordinated OSS,
connecting to the sewer, which I know you've been working on.
We applied for a grant from the sewer we didn't get.
I think part of what
it's
becoming clearer, though, is municipalities don't have the staff or hold that data, right? They don't do the public health. They don't do they don't do the DNR work. And so in order for them to come up with projects, they're not living in this world the same way we live in this world, right? And so providing that data to say, hey, these are the areas that we are seeing as the greatest impact areas you have, what would be the causes of that, so that then they can start thinking about, well, these are the types of projects. Otherwise, we need to bring projects to them, because without knowing the source of the contaminant or what the barrier is to a healthy shoreline, it's really hard to think of a project. You're just going to try to come up with a project that meets whatever need you're aware of.
We're thinking of septic and stormwater, but there could be something 10 times worse that we're just completely unaware of.
Yeah.
So in response to what I'm hearing, Jen, I would ask you to add that mapping to the list.
Yeah. That's a great one. And then I think I'll meet, if you have a particular person on staff that you think would be a good person to meet with, maybe I'm thinking Joshua to meet with, or another
or Joe.
Staff member. Okay. Yeah,
doesn't Joe come, I think?
Joe often does. Yeah. I just actually sent out a survey yesterday to find a better time and date, because Tuesday afternoons appear to be good for field work right now, so during the summer. But yeah, I'd like to meet with each of the municipalities and talk to them about this. That's a great idea, to see just targeted conversation about brainstorming and get that all.
Did you?
Kennedy Horse was also on the call.
Oh, yeah. And I believe that's Meredith, right? Would probably be a good one to meet with. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jennifer, we can get you that information, but it'll be Kendall Sullivan that we have to meet with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So can you take a look at the QCEM partnership open data portal that they have, where they theoretically you can go in and they that's where they house all the data of eelgrass, of water quality. Can you see what's in there and what's applicable to the questions I'm hearing?
Sure.
Because I'm
and what gaps there might be that we want to
I don't know how to navigate this one.
That'd be great.
Just to see that. Because maybe we all there's a spot we all need to agree we need to prioritize.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great idea.
Because I don't know how to navigate this site, but I know that
it can be very overwhelming with all the layers. Absolutely.
Not all going to navigate that site.
If you can just see what's in there that's useful to the question that they're asking, I think that's what would be helpful to us.
I suppose there must be some
island data. Right, and to see what the county has provided to this.
And you know, the beach monitoring has been going on for 20 years, and that data all sits with
Department of Health.
No, the shoreline monitoring that Soundwater Sewer does that goes to one of our partners at the universities.
Soundwater Sewer.
I think it's Western Washington University. I will remember his name in anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours. They have 20 years of data from the beach monitoring, going back to when it was beach watchers.
I thought you meant beach, as in our beach program, all capitals, which is swimming.
No.
Yes, exactly. Our swimming beaches, which we also do. Okay, so I know we're getting close to the end. The only other thing on the agenda before we wrap up is just to transition, as Commissioner St. Clair mentioned, her new seat on the ECB, which is exciting as a voting member, releases her seat as a non-voting member. So I will be taking that over unless there's any objections. That was the recommendation from Janet herself. I had previously been serving as the alternate and attending those meetings anyway, so if that makes sense. But then I just wanted to make sure.
So then do you need to get an alternate, Janet?
I do. Definitely. I have my lead entity who is also generally at most of these meetings and has now been sitting on the Salmon Recovery Council, which Commissioner St. Clair mentioned. I just wanted to make sure we talked about that and then leave any time for questions, comments. We covered a lot in 45 minutes versus an hour. Yeah, Sabrina, did you have a question?
So we kind of talked about it and then glazed over. So I just want to make sure we covered it. So you need an alternate that we select.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to, glaze it over.
Oh, okay. So that, I apologize. We will get that communication.
Yes, just wanted to make it at the very end. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if there's something you need an action from that we're addressing it.
Thank you. And it's mainly for Commissioner St. Clair as the chair to sign. But of course wanted to make it clear and really just applaud her movement in that role. And the importance of the ECB, as we mentioned, is sort of this influential player at the legislative level as well.
Melanie can do it.
No, she's a Jessica somebody who's willing to do it.
The lead entity person, who's the salmon recovery coordinator, has been, okay. She is the member for the Salmon Recovery Council, which is one of the groups that.
So we already have an alternate?
Yes.
They have one selected. Unless you would like to do
it. No, I feel Jeff's employee.
Yes. Yeah.
But they're voting on legislation?
No.
No. This okay. is.
Janet there's is no voting.
Voting. There, this is a non-voting member.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Got it.
Of the ECB.
So it's an alternate to the non-voting
member. Yeah. It's as arcane as you get, Molly.
So we don't have to do anything.
No. It was really just to let you know, again, that Janet is taking a new role. I'm sorry, okay, I should have made that more clear. I'm as a voting not vote. Well.
All right. Yeah, that gives us a voting voice.
It's not you. It's been two meetings in a row where the answers are different than the answers.
Okay.
So I don't know if we need a communication class at this county, but the question was, do we need to take action for an alternate? The answer has now been yes or no. So the answer is no, we don't need to take action here for the alternate. This Jessica's going to do it.
The action was to put me as the member and her as my alternate.
Right.
That's.
Do we need to vote on that? That's what action means to us. Do we need to vote on that or we don't need to vote on that?
We can definitely entertain a vote. It really doesn't need a vote.
That's all. We don't need to vote.
It just needs Janet to sign it really as the chair.
And then, but we need to know, we have to vote then.
Okay.
Janet can't sign without us telling her that she's allowed to sign.
Okay.
So I would make a motion to make Jeff the alternate and Jessica the alternate and Janet to the board she's already on.
So
no, the new, the, voting, what, member.
The, new the, voting
the member. Role I have is already a point that has nothing right. to do
okay.
with
so here. I make a motion to make Jen the alternate and Jessica the alternate. No.
Jen is the representative and Jessica's the alternate.
I took Janet.
Jen the representative and Jessica the alternate. That is my motion. And authorize the chair to sign the letter. I could have just made a motion to say I authorized the chair to sign the letter.
Second.
Thank you.
Who's in the all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? There. Janet can sign as the chair.
Kennedy's putting on.
Kennedy.
Thank you, Kennedy. Right.
Great. I didn't mean to take over, but we
no,
need to
great.
Just get Janet to sign the letter.
That was great. Trying not to cough too much into my mask.
No, you're doing fine.
I have to go.
Thank you, Commissioner Bacon.
Don't let them ask us for more money, though.
I haven't been to any of these meetings yet. Is there a thing I need to know?
No, they just always want more money and they
and,
want
and
space.
My answer is no.
No on money and space. We just drag them along for a while.
Thank you for your ideas. I believe there's probably three or four out of this conversation that will go into the target action plans. I will meet with each of the municipal entities and continue to work with all the many, many folks on the technical committee to gather more ideas so that it sets us up well, probably presuming based on the timeline next year for funding opportunities that will come around to implement locally. And again, it's just a nice change from the last couple of years of not knowing when we're going to get some money. So thank you again for bearing with a very long day. I know this is always your longest day of back-to-back meetings. And if we need to meet again before October, we certainly can, but that's the next scheduled meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
Hope you feel better.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I need a meeting's adjourned.